But ask you to turn your Bible with me here this evening. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. We'll stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would. And we'll read down to verse number 4. The Word of God says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction." There's our key word, instruction, in verse number 2. "To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom." There's our word again, instruction. "Justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." Actually, if you jump down to verse number 7, you see our word yet again. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so we have both the positive, receiving it, learning it, and the negative, those who reject it. Here this evening, we're going to pick up one more major truth on our list and consider a goodly number of sub-truths underneath it as we proceed. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll proceed with the message this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would guide us now here tonight as we consider in particular the primary subject for this evening, this matter of instruction and how to receive it aright. Lord, I pray that you would guide us through our study tonight as we look through the book of Proverbs on the matter, that we would be instructed ourselves on how to continue to grow through the instruction that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Already in this study, we've considered a number of main truths. We've considered, first of all, the definition of godly instruction. We noted the fact that there's a particular Hebrew word that is commonly translated with the word English word instruction 25 times in the book of Proverbs. However, there's a few other times it is found there, but translated with a different English word. The Hebrew word is actually found a total of 30 times in the book of Proverbs, 25 times translated with the English word instruction, 4 times with the English word correction, and 1 time with the English word chastening. The English word instruction conveys the picture of building a structure. That's the struction part of the word instruction, but it's a structure inside of a person. Instruction. The picture of building a structure of either information or of skill or of character within an individual. The Hebrew word, we noted, encompasses the whole process of developing discipline in your life. The whole process of discipline. It includes the discipline of training, Proverbs 1:3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. That's training. It includes the discipline of admonition. In Proverbs 24, verse 32, the author of Proverbs, Solomon, says that he looked upon the fields of the lazy, and he saw, chapter 24, verse 32, he saw and considered it well, and then he says, "I looked upon it and received instruction." In that case, he wasn't receiving instruction of training, but he was receiving instruction of admonition, warning, don't be like the lazy man. It also includes the discipline of reproof. Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment is lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And finally, it includes the discipline of chastening. For Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord," which is exactly the same Hebrew word usually translated with the English word instruction. Here it's chastening of the Lord, which is the obvious context for it in that passage. So training, admonition, reproof, chastening, all bound up in this idea of godly instruction. We've considered the substance of godly instruction. What is it? I mean, in its actual substance, what is it? Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." Without the fear of the Lord, you won't have this instruction. You won't be instructed. By the fear of the Lord, you will be instructed. For in fact, the fear of the Lord is godly instruction. The character of godly instruction, you see it in chapter 1, verse 3. It is to receive the instruction of wisdom, which has 3 parts: justice and judgment and equity. It will teach us justice, how to act with righteous behavior. It will teach us judgment, how to make righteous decisions. It will teach us equity, how to be righteous in our character. Then there's the need for godly instruction. Some of you probably still remember that message. We considered out of the book of Proverbs three specific groups of people that Proverbs communicates need instruction. The first ones to need instruction are our children. Our children need instruction. Proverbs 22 verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's our Hebrew word. There's translated correction, but it's the same Hebrew word. Children need it. And that instruction in Proverbs is not given to the children to convince the children that they need it. That's given to parents to convince the parents that they need to be doing it with regard to their children. Amen. The second group that the book of Proverbs communicates need instruction is the young adults. The group young adults need instruction. Actually, that's the primary audience in the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs is useful for all of us. Even at the very introduction of the book of Proverbs, it talks about those who are already wise, that they will encounter the wisdom of the book of Proverbs and grow in more wisdom. So some of you would say, well, I'm not a young adult. I don't need this anymore. Those of you who are still classed as a young adult, which I guess, according to everybody in the church now, officially after this year, I'm not young anymore. I'm officially old now that I turned 50, right? So only the young adults, right? Well, that's the primary focus of the book of Proverbs. That's where you see Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Or Proverbs 8, verses 32 through 34, where it's not a parent saying, listen to my instruction, but it's actually the wisdom of God himself saying, listen to me. Now therefore, hearken unto me. Proverbs 8, verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. So, young adults, you should still be listening to the instruction of your parents. You should definitely be listening to the instruction of God. Amen? And then, actually, in Proverbs 19, verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There the idea and the context is not just from your parents, not just from God, but from any person in your life that brings wise instruction into your life. Amen. That's valuable, and that relates to the New Testament truth that the older are to teach the younger. Then we learned the revelation of godly instruction. That was the last truth that we considered, and quite a bit there. That is, in the book of Proverbs, we find that how people respond to instruction reveals things about their character. How they respond to godly instruction reveals some things about their character. We learn from Proverbs 13, verse 1, that an individual who listens to instruction reveals that he's wise in character. We learn from Proverbs 15, verse 5, that an individual who regards corrective instruction reveals that he is prudent in character. And we learn from Proverbs 12, verse 1, that an individual who loves instruction reveals that he actually loves to grow in maturity. But we also learn the other side. From Proverbs 15, verse 5, we again learn that an individual who despises instruction reveals that he's foolish in character. From Proverbs chapter 15, verse 10, the first half of the verse, we learn that an individual who finds corrective instruction to be grievous reveals that he has forsaken the way of righteousness. The one who views corrective instruction as positive, who regards it, reveals that he's prudent. But the one who rejects it, that finds it grievous and offensive and annoying, which we all do sometimes, actually reveals that where that place of annoyance is the place where they've already begun to turn aside and forsake the way of righteousness. And finally, we learn from Proverbs 12, verse 1, that an individual who hates corrective instruction reveals that actually he is brutish in character. And how many of us remember what the word brutish means? All right, Miss Angela, you remember? You want to tell me? Yeah, dumb as an ox. That literally is the Hebrew word's meaning, dumb as an ox, all right? But we might say that brutish means like an animal, as dumb or as stupid as an animal. Those of you who aren't allowed to use stupid in your home, don't go home and use it now. Okay. But yeah, Steve, come on. But the point is, that's what the word brutish is. And it is used in scripture to describe certain individuals, this being one of them, those that hate corrective instruction. Another place it's used, which has nothing to do with our message tonight, is over in one of the prophets. I'm not sure if it was Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, one of the bigger ones, where it describes those who build idols for themselves. And then it makes a statement after it describes the fact that they spent all this work and all of this effort and all this money into building the idol. They bow down to it even though it can't walk, it can't talk, it can't see, it can't hear, it can't speak. It really can't do anything for them. They can pray all day long and their idol can do exactly what? Nothing. And then it says they that build them, that they are really nothing, they're vain, they're empty, are like unto them. And then it says, by building them and thinking that what they have created is a god, is literally makes them brutish. Even the animals aren't so dumb as to realize that the true God isn't God. Only humanity does that. So, we come to our truth tonight, back to our message in the book of Proverbs. That was a lot of review really fast. If you were taking notes fresh, now some of you took notes and you're just making sure you got it all, but if you were trying to take notes fresh, you had to write a lot really fast. Here tonight, now the part we'll be settling in on. The reception of godly instruction. Now, I'm not talking about the blessing that comes to those that receive it. That'll be a future point for a future message. But here I'm talking about what the book of Proverbs reveals to us, what it communicates to us on how to go about receiving godly instruction the right way. We've just come out of a message, out of a truth that we reviewed there, that how you receive it, how you respond to it, whether you receive it or reject it, speaks something about, reveals something about who you are and your character. And you say, well, okay, wait a second. So if I receive it correctly, it reveals that I'm prudent, reveals that I'm wise in my character, reveals that I love to grow spiritually and in maturity. That's kind of the category I want to be in. If I reject it, if I hate it, if I despise it, well, that reveals that I'm foolish and it reveals that I'm brutish and it reveals those things. I don't want to be in that category. All right? Well, if I want to be in this category, then here comes the question. So how do I receive it the right way? Okay, I know that if I receive it, it reveals that I'm in a good place of good character, but how do I do that? How do you receive godly instruction in the right way? How do you receive it in a way that God would approve? Well, we're going to see a number of answers from the book of Proverbs on this matter. In fact, there are a total, and I have them as ABC, so it's harder to count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We'll get it done. Yes, we will. Don't you be laughing at me. Beth back there shaking her head. We're going to get it done. I got 7 points in this morning. You don't think I could do 9 tonight? Come on. All right, here we go. First one. You need to carefully listen to godly instruction. The very first step of receiving it is listen, but listen carefully. How many of you know there's a difference between listening and listening? If you've ever been a parent, you know there's a difference, right? If you've ever taught a class, you know there's a difference. How many parents have ever asked that question of your child? Did you hear me? Okay, pretty much any parent that cares at all. Then the next question that always came in our home was, okay, what did I say? Are there any children here who've heard that second question? Okay, fine, you said you heard me. What did I say? Now, how many parents have experienced that your child can actually give you back rote what you said, word for word, but you still don't think they were listening? You understand the difference? I mean, they heard it enough to be able to repeat it back, short-term memory, but that's as far as it went. Short-term memory, about as long as it took to go in this ear, come out the mouth, and then go back out the other ear. Because an hour later, did they do what you told them to do? Oh, parents, don't be looking at their children now. I'm glad my parents aren't here because mom and dad be like, yeah, you too. And then I had kids just like me, right? Wait, you think husbands are like this too? Wow. I don't know. I don't know, Brother Hagin. Do you think your wife thinks husbands are like this too? Yeah, you do? Amen. But the truth of the matter is, if we're really going to receive the instruction of God, it requires us to listen and listen with that type of listening that is really paying attention. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8. Proverbs 1, verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, this means more than what I'm about to say, but it's in a sense as if he writes and he says, okay, listen to the instruction of your parents and don't let it go out the other ear. Listen to it and don't forsake it. Don't let it go in, bounce around a few times and go back out, and that's the end of it. And you know, if you do that with parents, that's not good, that's bad. But if you do that with God, now you're ramping that thing up a whole lot worse. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Hear and attend. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Notice in all these verses the idea of listen, hear it, pay attention. Proverbs 19, verse number 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Notice that it talks about hearing it so as to receive. Hear counsel and receive instruction. If you won't even listen, don't expect to learn. I've taught in the classroom. Taught math in the classroom. One of those classes all the students love. Actually, you know right at the beginning of the year, there's a whole group that walks through your door. You know they do not want your class. Math. Why do we have to learn math? Algebra. Why do we have to learn algebra? When am I ever going to use this stuff? Well, algebra one you do use in life. Algebra two. And if you go on to trig, well, unless you go into, you know, mechanical engineering or stuff, you probably aren't going to use it all that much in general life. Probably not. But you know, sometimes you can tell right off the get-go, there's a group, they're not going to listen at all. Here's a group that's going to try to listen but be distracted by that group. Here's a group that's going to try to listen, but they're going to have a really hard time. And they're going to concentrate, but it's just math doesn't go well. They weren't built for math. And then there's that group that actually, they listen so fast and get it so quickly, they then join the group that's not listening because they already got it. I know that group too. Now, when it comes to spiritual things, you don't want to be the group that doesn't care. That's not listening at all. You don't want to be the group that's distracting everybody else. Amen? You want to be the group that's concentrating to learn. But I'm going to tell you this, in spiritual matters, you may learn the truth quickly, but that doesn't mean you learned the truth quickly. Because it takes us all time to grow in spiritual things. But if you're committed to God, you'll listen. Amen? And you'll listen carefully. So the first thing is carefully listen to godly instruction. Number two, value godly instruction above all else. Value godly instruction above all else. Actually, this will motivate you with the other one. You know why we listen to some things, pay attention to some things more than we do others? Our tendency... Now, there's sometimes we do it for other motivations, but our tendency is, oh, okay, all right. We all know this one in the church, right? We know that there are some in the church that really, really, really like baseball. And we know there's at least one in the church that does not. Who's the one that does not? Anybody know? That's right. That's me. I do not like baseball. Now, do we know some of the ones who do? Yeah, okay. Actually, my wife really likes baseball. She doesn't get to watch much of it in our house because, you know, I'm so terribly uncompassionate. But then there's some in the church who love football, right? Yep, I knew that was coming. So Wesley and I, Patrick, we really like football. But there are some in the church that do not like football. Miss Angela already motioned. Oh, Amelia, is your hand going up? You don't like football? Do you like baseball? They're okay. They're just okay. All right. I know if Abigail were here, she'd be like, football, pfft, baseball. Yeah. It's okay. Now here's the thing. If a baseball game's on, you know how much I'm paying attention? Actually, I'm trying to find something else to do. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm trying to find something else to do. If a football game is on, you know how much Miss Angela is paying attention? She's trying to find something else to do. Why? What impacts that? Interest. Sure. Our value, our interest affects our value. I walk into the room. Miss Diane, pay attention now. I walk into the room and there's chocolate everywhere. And I walk right back out the room. Okay? Miss Diane walks in the room after me and never comes out of the room. She just moved in. How many other ladies moved in with her? How many other men moved in with her? All right, I don't know. But the point is that there's an interest that somebody has. They value it. They view it as positive. They want to stick around. But if you don't view it as positive, you move on quickly. It's the same when it comes to instruction. If I'm being instructed on a matter that I like, okay, yes, I was a math nerd in school. I liked it. I took trig because I liked it. Yes, I know. There's some of you sitting out there right now going, you're weird, Pastor. How many agree with that? Pastor's weird. He likes that stuff. All right. Yeah. No, that's fine. I understand. That's what happens when you're classed in the math nerd category. All right. But there were other classes that I didn't like nearly as much, and others did. So in math class, I paid attention. I enjoyed it. I valued it. When it comes to the instruction of God, it's the same thing. You put as much effort into paying attention to God's instruction, to godly instruction, as you value it. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 10. Notice this statement, receive my instruction and not silver. And knowledge, that is receive knowledge, rather than choice gold. Choice gold is whatever is the highest carat that you can get, the most valuable of the gold that you'd walk into the store and say, okay, I want the most expensive gold ring you have. I want the best carat you can give me. Amen? And he's saying, godly instruction, you should value that way beyond. I know it'd be hard, but if I were to put up here godly instruction, if it were an object, godly instruction, here it is, this object. And then over here, legitimate, not stolen from a bank or anything, is legitimate, is $1 million in $100 bills. And I said to you, come up and pick whichever pile you want, but you can only have one, not both. Which one would you choose? I mean, for real, you know in church with the preacher preaching which one I'm supposed to choose. In fact, in front of all of us in church, you might choose that one just because I'm supposed to. But in real life, which one would we really choose? If God said you can either have wisdom or you can have the money, but you can't have both. If you take wisdom, you're going to be poor. If you take the money, that's great, but you're not going to be spiritually wise. You have to choose one or the other. Which one will we choose? Well, a lot has to do with which one we really value more. And that's what we're being told in Proverbs 8, verse number 2. If you're going to receive it, number one, you have to listen carefully. Number two, you have to value godly instruction above all else. Number three, You need to invest yourself in godly instruction. Not just listen, but invest yourself in it. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Notice, here is a slightly different idea than what we were just given. The one we were just given had to do with choosing based on value. Here's wisdom, here's piles of silver. Here's wisdom, here's piles of choice gold. I've never even seen a gold bar, but here's a pile of it. And it's really yours. If you come up here and you take it, it's yours. That's a choice. But now he's going a step further, and he's saying, in order to receive this wisdom, you should literally be taking money out of your own pocket you already have in order to buy it. I could buy none. I don't know, I could max out my credit card to buy wisdom. Now, would you be willing to do that? I mean, would you be willing to take your own hard-earned money, in a sense, that's the picture he's giving, to buy godly instruction? That's the idea of investing myself, investing what I already own, investing my own commitment, investing my own time and effort to acquire the godly wisdom or the godly instruction to receive it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Invest yourself in this. All right, so what do we have? Number one, listen carefully. Number two, value it above everything else. And number three, invest yourself in godly instruction. Number four, daily pursue after godly instruction. Now, if you invest yourself in it, what will you do? You'll give yourself every day to acquiring it. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. You will receive godly instruction correctly if you give yourself every day to it. If you only give yourself once a week, far too many believers are doing that. They come to church once a week and that's it. That's their whole time spent, their whole effort given to learning the instruction of God. Usually, even the one time they're in church, they're dull of hearing. You know why? Because 6 days a week, and the majority even of the seventh day, they're focused on everything else. It's not real priority. But if we give ourselves to it every day, this is a means by which we learn and grow therein daily. Notice again, Proverbs 8, 33 and 34, hear it and be wise and refuse it not. But don't just hear it. He says, blessed is the man that heareth me doing what? Watching daily. Now, it's interesting. It's not just daily, but it's watching daily. That's a concentration. That also is different than the person that reads their Bible every day, but does it at speed reading speeds just to get it done. I dare say, at Bible college, when they give assignments, you need to have devotions every day and so on, there's some students doing it exactly like that. They just want to be able to check off the box to say, hey, I got it done. They're doing it the same way they do their homework in most of their other classes. Wait to the last minute. Do it with very little brain on and as quickly as you can. And then that whole phrase that is thrown out there, C's get degrees. Wesley threw that one in my face when he came back from college, and I almost cuffed him right out of the house. Now, students here in the room, if you give everything you've got and you get a C, I'm proud of you. You gave everything you had. But if you're an A student and you're not giving all and getting C's, somebody ought to cuff you. And as the children of God, we should not be shooting for C's in our spiritual walk.
we should be shooting for A's. Amen? Acceptable with God. Then, the next one that we have on our list. So what are we at? Number 5? Apply your heart to godly instruction. The very first one, in this sense, listen carefully, was to apply your ear to it. But you do realize that when it comes to godliness, when it comes to the instruction of godliness and the instruction of righteousness, it needs to go beyond your ear and your head. It needs to become planted in your heart. Amen? Apply your heart to godly instruction. Proverbs 23, verse number 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Apply your heart to it. Don't just give your ear. See, this all relates together, doesn't it? You listen, but if you're listening carefully, it's because you value it. And you value it so highly, you can't be distracted. Because you value it above all else. And then with that, you invest yourself, you give yourself to what you value. You invest yourself and you come daily, you pursue it every single day, constantly coming every day to apply your heart. The psalmist in Psalm 19, what does he say? He talks about the Word of God in his heart, doesn't he? And that's what would keep him from sin. Now, I want to just correct a small thought here, because I know that verse in Psalm 19 is used so regularly for this. It's a verse that is used with a great deal of regularity to encourage us to memorize Scripture. Right? And, by the way, memorizing Scripture is of value. Don't think that what I'm about to say is to undercut the idea of memorization. But you can memorize Scripture and not still have it in your heart. You can have whole loads of it in your head, but it still not be in your heart. What does it mean that it's in your heart? Well, one way that I put it is it's planted in your heart, or it's rooted. I take this actually from the parable of the sower and the seed. The idea of the Word of God rooted. Because we know in the parable of the sower and the seed, what is the seed? It's the Word of God. Now, in some of the context, the idea is the gospel itself. But because he goes on in that to the three other grounds, it goes beyond just the gospel. The first message of the Word of God to a lost sinner is the gospel. That's the one they have to respond right to. Without that, the rest of it's of no value. Remember what we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. So the rest of the wisdom of God's Word is of no real value to a lost sinner. The gospel is the first important message for them. But after you get saved, how much of the Word of God and its wisdom is valuable to you? Amen. And what do you do with it? Now in the parable, I believe, and all of you here are part of our congregation, but two. So you've heard me preach on it. You know what I believe on it. And the tendency is for many of the people in the congregation to follow what their pastor preaches. I have no clue what the other pastor in the room believes on the matter, but I believe the first one's unsaved, the other three are saved. All right? Now, the second one we have is the stony ground. And if you think about the picture, what is it? The idea is not that there's stones on the top of the ground. The idea is that there's a shallow level of very good ground, very nourishing ground, but just underneath that, there's a hard layer of stone. In this country, you wouldn't find a hard layer of stone, you'd find a hard layer of, thank you, clay. All right? Now, some plants are hardy enough to get their roots down in the clay. Stone would be even worse than that. But the idea is roots go down quick because the ground is good, but then they hit the stone and they stop and all the rest of the growth shoots up. But I want you to think about it. What is it that's supposed to be taking root? Think about the picture. The seed is the Word of God. When a seed goes into the ground, what happens? It germinates And then the root begins to come out of the seed. So what is actually taking root? The seed, which is the Word of God. The reason the stony ground is crash and burns, literally, when the heat of the sun comes up, doesn't crash literally, but it burns. The reason that happens is because it has shallow roots. But it's not that it put in shallow roots, it's that it allowed God's Word to only have shallow roots. Because it's clear in the parable that the ground is actually a heart. The ground represents the heart of man. If it goes into the heart and germinates, that's life. So your heart, if you let the seed of the Word of God go in and take roots, not just shallow roots, but deeper and deeper and deeper roots, that's what it means when in the Old Testament it says that we need to have the Word of God in our heart. Another way to put it would be this. Change the picture altogether. Change the metaphor altogether. The idea is that the Word of God sits on the throne. Now I realize in the New Testament we would talk about Christ abiding in us. He sits on the throne. Or we would talk about the Holy Spirit filling us. He sits on the throne. But you do realize that all of those passages tie together. Jesus Christ, when He said in John 15, abide in me, I in you, just a few verses later, changed it and just reworded it like this. Abide in me and my words abide in you. So you realize when God's words abide in you, it's the same thing as when Christ abides in you. You don't have one without the other because they are intertwined. Or you have Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then all the results, if you're familiar with them, singing, making melody in your heart, marriages being good, parents raising their children right, working on the job the right way, and so forth. Interestingly enough, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it never even mentions the Holy Spirit, but it gives the exact same results to follow. What does it say in Colossians 3, verse number 16? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Why? Because being filled with the Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, and letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly are pretty much the same thing in Scripture. They're all just different ways of referring to the same thing. So now we come back to the Old Testament here about the Word of God in our heart. That's what it means, that it's in charge. God's Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, they are in charge. Apply your heart to godly instruction. We go on. The next one, take fast hold of godly instruction. Take fast hold of it. The idea, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. What's the idea of take fast hold? It means grab a hold and don't let go. In fact, that's exactly what it says. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Everything in the world will be, everything in this world by the devil himself is set up to make you let go. To steal godly instruction away from you. The devil's constantly doing everything he can to pull it out of your hand. To pull it out of your heart. He set up a whole world system to choke out. Again, back to the parable of the sower and the seed, right? The seed goes down for the third ground. It does take root. In fact, it takes wonderful root. Deep root. The idea there is actually the plant grows up and during the hot season of the summer, it survives. It gets through that. It doesn't wither. In fact, that phrase there where in the one of the Gospels it says that it does not bring forth fruit to perfection is a really important phrase. The idea of that phrase is the fruit's actually on the vine. What's fruit to perfection? What is perfect fruit? What do we call that? Ripe. So you all know I love tomatoes. Pastor Norris used to have a garden out there, tons of tomatoes. And he told me I could go out and get them anytime I wanted. Sometimes late at night, everybody else in bed, but I wanted a snack. I'd come out with, I'm not lying to you, I'd come out with my flashlight, find a couple of really good tomatoes, pull them off his vine, go in the house, chop them up, and eat my tomatoes. I don't get to do that anymore. Now there's a parking lot there. But, I would do that because I like the tomatoes. But you know, during that season, you can also go out there and find plenty of tomatoes that are still green. That's fruit, but it's not to perfection. You see, this plant, it grew, it put in roots, it was nourished, it even started to produce fruit. But it didn't bring it to harvest. Why? You know it. The third ground, why? Because it's choked out. Choked out by the cares of this world, choked out by the deceitfulness of riches, choked out by the pleasures of other things. The devil has set up a whole world system in order to choke the Word of God out of your life. In order to choke godly instruction out of your life. It's that, in that case, it's not about applying the heart. This individual applied their heart. They let the roots grow, but then they let other distractions in. Oh, don't do that. Take fast hold of godly instruction. Do not let her go. Do not ever open your hand for what the devil offers you, what the world offers you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Some might say, well, no. I'll open my hand and I'll take a hold of both. No, you won't. When you try to grab a hold of the world, you'll lose the instruction of God. It will happen every time. So it's best to just grab a hold of the instruction of God and don't ever let go. Just ignore the rest. The next on our list, what is this? Number 7, obediently follow godly instruction. Up to this point, everything's been about it getting in. Now is, what do you do with it? Yeah, you live it out. You get it in. You listen, get it in, you value it, get it in, you pursue it every day, get it in, you let it take root in your heart, get it in, you take hold of it and don't let go, get it in, but now you have to live it out. Amen? Obediently follow godly instruction. When God says, do this, do it. When God says, change this, change it. When God says, stop that, sounds a lot like a parent. Stop that. Stop it. When God says, stop that, then stop it. Oh, we all need this, don't we? Because we all struggle in these areas. Then we go on to number 8 on our list. Do not resist. Now, there's a hard one. So we've come all the way to obedience, but there are two more to consider. Oh, I didn't give you the verses for that one, did I? Proverbs 4, verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. The idea of keep her, it's not just hold on and don't let go. That's already been stated. Now go so far as to keep her, as in obey her. She is the way you're supposed to live. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. She's your life. You're in the way of life if you keep instruction. Obey it. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. Then, do not resist. So this is number 8 now. Do not resist God's corrective instruction. How many in the room do have a heart for the instruction of God and even seek to obey it? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you are perfect at that? Yeah, well, neither am I. Okay? So here's the thing. If you're not perfect at it, how many of you then sometimes need corrective instruction? Yeah. I mean, by the very fact, it's like in school, right? You turn in your test and the teacher is joyful about everyone you got right. But, you know, the teacher doesn't ignore to communicate to you Everyone you got wrong. They usually like to use red to make sure that you notice. So rude of them. I think they should set up a new policy. They should circle the number of everyone I got right and just don't say anything about the ones I got wrong. Just don't say anything about them at all. Actually, sad to say, because I don't really believe in that new policy, Jacob. I know that'd be cool, but I don't really believe in it, because I'll tell you this. Many times, if you'll pay attention to where you've been corrected, you learn those things better the second time. If you pay attention. Now, a lot of times we don't pay attention to that. But you know, if you pay attention to the correction, it actually establishes the truth even more deeply. We live in a society that is now developing this idea, just point out what I did right and don't ever mention anything I did wrong. Well, the thing is, the things you're doing wrong from God's perspective in the realm of godly instruction, the things you're doing wrong are the things that will destroy your life. And if you just say, don't ever tell me where I'm wrong, that hurts my feelings. Unless you don't have any feelings, then it's not as big a deal. That hurts my feelings. Don't do that. No. I'm going to tell you right now, God doesn't hold that philosophy. God doesn't sit in heaven and say, okay, look, you're doing a whole lot of stuff wrong, but I don't want to tell you because I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't know. I have never found that God is really that shy to hurt my feelings by telling me where I've been wrong. He doesn't seem to be that shy to me. Maybe he doesn't tell you, but boy, he likes to hammer on me when I'm doing the wrong thing. Isn't that what chastening means? Aren't we told in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 that if he doesn't chasten you, it's just evidence you're not really one of his children? Doesn't that passage not only say he rebukes and chastens, but even uses the word scourges, which we would think is kind of an abusive term? No, God's not shy about it. But if we're going to receive instruction, we can't just receive the positive instruction. These are the positives. Listen, learn, do. But you know, we have to receive the corrective instruction too. And then there's a final one. Oh, did I give you the verse for that one? I did not. Proverbs 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. And that's actually the exact same Hebrew word. I've mentioned that already. The Hebrew word 25 times translated instruction, but this time translated chastening. And notice what he says. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Quickly, let me just mention this, then we'll move on to number 9 on the list, and that's the last one. Ha. I got it. But notice in that verse, in Proverbs 3, verse 11, despise not means don't get a bad attitude. Don't get angry at chastening. If you are a parent of children, have been a parent of children, you know that sometimes your children, the way they respond wrong to chastening is they get angry at it. But then there's the other side. He says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary. So there's one wrong response is to become angry at it. Another wrong response is to become discouraged and depressed by it. Because some people respond to correction that way. They don't get angry at correction. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Who do you think you are correcting me? That's despising it. But then there's that other group. Well, I guess I just can't do anything right. And you just point out one thing. Well, I guess I'm an utter failure. I could put out there, which one do you think I was as a kid? But it'd probably be easy for you all to know that one. What are you shaking your head at?
I know which one you were.
You didn't even know me back then. I was the angry one. But everybody here in the congregation already knew that. Except for maybe these two who don't know me quite as long. But they know my sons, so they probably figure there's a, yeah, all right. Now here's the last one. Proverbs 19, verse 27. Utterly reject. Wow, that's interesting. I thought all these points were about receiving. They are. They're all about receiving godly instruction. So listen carefully to this one. Utterly reject all ungodly instruction. Utterly reject all ungodly instruction. If you're going to receive godly instruction, then you have to say no whenever ungodly instruction comes into your life. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction. Now, if the verse stopped there, we'd say, wow, that contradicts everything else in the book of Proverbs about instruction. Ah, but it doesn't stop there. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. If someone comes along, and I already told you the devil set up a whole world to try to steer you away from godly instruction, to steal it out of your hand, to steer you in the other direction. This world is not just filled with distractions, it's filled with falsehood, deceptions. Right? It's filled with discouragements too. Wow. Write those down. Three alliterated points. That could be a message. Somebody needs to write that down. I won't remember it by the time the service is over. What are you doing? Come on, help me out. Did it stop? Oh, yeah, I'm recording. I could go back and listen. Cool, thank you. I'm over 50. I don't think about those things now. But the fact is that the devil has set this world up not only to distract us, but to deceive us. There is a multitude of instruction out there all the time to try to convince you of things that are not true, that are not good, that are not righteous. A lot of it is in advertisements. How many of you like to have your hamburger your way? Amen. I like to have my hamburger my way too. I really don't like to have it my wife's way because she likes to put a whole lot of stuff on it that I do not like. But you know, that develops a whole idea that's appealing for us to hear that phrase, have it your way. So some time ago, and no, I'm not old enough to have been born yet when he sang the song originally, okay, but the whole song, I did it. Yeah, you all know it. I did it my way. And then he died, and God said, not your way, my way. There's a whole lot of ideas out there. They flood to you. Live for number one. By the way, you should live for number one. The problem is the world's not trying to convince you that God's number one. Oh, here's one. Directly contrary to Scripture. Get them before they get you. Right? It's a dog-eat-dog world. You better get them before they get you. And actually, Scripture tells us the exact opposite of that, doesn't it? Not only does it tell us not to get them before they get us, it doesn't even tell us to get them after they get us. These are just some common ones. But they just keep flooding us. And look, many of them come across through innocent advertisements. But they're trying to appeal to the flesh. Why? Well, because by appealing to the flesh, they convince you to buy their product, which is what they're really into. You buying their product. That's how they make money. Advertisements are not on television for your benefit. They're on television for the market's benefit. Okay? That's why they're there. That's why they tell you, you deserve it. And you all have heard me, except for these two, you've all heard me about that whole commercial, you deserve it. And every time I see it, I think the same thing. Well, if I deserve it, and if you believe I deserve it, then why won't you give it to me for free? Why do I have to pay for it if I deserve it? But they're trying to convince you to think, I deserve it, so I'm going to go spend whatever it costs to buy. The world's filled with this. And it's not just these ideas, but these ideas lay a foundation of deception for us. Who their stars are. Who their heroes are. Who their idols are. Because I can tell you, for the godly individual, they should be something completely different. Shouldn't they? We've got to learn to just simply quit listening. He says, cease to hear. Don't listen to that deceptive falsehood. How many of you have ever heard advice about parenting from family members you know was not biblical? How many have ever heard advice about how to be religious or not from coworkers? Don't listen, because it'll turn you aside from real godly instruction. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the message of your word here this evening, and we pray that you would let it sink deeply, not only through our ear, into our head, but into our hearts, that we would in fact follow that which you have given to us in this matter, that we will be those who pursue godly instruction, that receive it, and that truly grow in godly maturity thereby. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.